Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters in Christ, from the beginning to the end of the Scriptures, we find developed the theme of light. For the children listening this morning, what is the first thing that God created? The very first thing He created.
Light.
He created light first. Now maybe some of the older children. What does photosynthesis do?
Mommies and dads.
Well, I suppose they should be lights in our lives while we're in life. Someone else? That's a good guess. Photosynthesis. It's the theory, or maybe it's even more than a theory, that tells us that life on this planet is brought about by the transformation of light into living material. I'm not going to go any further. I was hoping that the older children would help me. God made light first. Only after He made light did life appear on the planet. Light is important. When we were missionaries in Chiapas, Mexico, we did a lot of driving in and through the mountains. And we had to use our lights and depend on our lights. We do here too. But I think of times when we were driving in the mountains and very foolishly, I, along with many others, had this practice, and I didn't do it a lot, but every once in a while, in a hurry, at night, going down in the mountains, I would come up on some turn, and I'd turn the light out for just a couple seconds and see if there's any light coming around the turn. And if there was no light coming, I'd pass that slope up in front of me, around through the turn. That's dangerous. What if the guy coming in the other direction had said the same thing? We both turn our lights out and then turn back on. But anyway, light is important. When you get up during the night, I know that a lot of people have these little night lights that they have continually on so that the kids don't feel so afraid, or maybe simply to help you navigate yourself back into the bathroom and back, so you don't stub your toe. Light. We can't live without it. There is no life without light. Jesus said that He was the light of the world. In the Old Testament, light represents the presence of Yahweh, of God. And we all heard of the kavod, glory, the glory of God, that kavod, that shine brightness. And when Moses was on Mount Sinai, that light shone even in the form of lightning. And if you remember the story, the people of Israel at the foot of the mountain said, "Oh, Moses, we're afraid. You go up the mountain. You talk with God." Because that light and that glory of God could kill us. They were afraid of the light, especially that brilliant, abode glory of God. When you went into the temple of the Old Testament, what did you see? Seven branched candlestick. You saw light on the altar that represented God. You see on our altar, I see quite a few lights. The seven branch light in the back of the altar. That light right before the tabernacle. And what do I mean by tabernacle? This here is what we call the tabernacle. See? And then we have this light here. It's a very important light right before the tabernacle. Because inside of the tabernacle, we have the reserved sacrament of Jesus Christ. This morning, we're celebrating the light that shone through the fathers and mothers of the church in those early centuries. I say mothers because so many of the saints in our church are mothers. When you read about my favorite saint, St. Gregory of Nyssa, you find that in his family there were at least two women saints. And it was because of those godly women that St. Gregory of Nyssa himself and St. Basil the Great, his other brother, were brought to a saving knowledge of Christ. It was because of the witness, the light that shone in the life of their mother and their older sister. Well, that light that shines and illumines our way and brings us along the path that leads to God and life with God is not only a light of holiness in the sense of love and peace and joy, it is also a light that teaches us what is true. So it's a light that enlightens the eyes of our understanding in terms of doctrine. We celebrate today the fathers of the church of these first ecumenical councils. And I notice that some would say that we're celebrating the fathers of the fourth ecumenical council. And others are saying that today is the day we celebrate the fathers of all the ecumenical councils, all the first six ecumenical councils. Whatever, what we're celebrating today is the fact that if we are going to walk in the light and find life in this world, we need to follow the light that God has given in the witness of the fathers of those ecumenical councils. There are modern-day Arians who don't believe that Jesus could be both God and man. They would say that, like Arius, that he was the highest of creatures, and that God, even yes, God created the world through Jesus, through the Word made flesh. But he wasn't equal with the Father. He was a created being. Jehovah's Witnesses today are the ones who teach this with a lot of energy. But if we are to know the truth, if we are to know God as our Savior and Redeemer, our Creator, we must walk in the light of the fathers of the ecumenical councils. There's a great saint called Saint Olga. She is very highly acknowledged in the Russian tradition. She was from Kiev. Saint Olga was born in the 9th century of royalty. She was the wife of the Prince Igor. And Igor died. And it's not clear when St. Olga made her trip to Constantinople. But she made a trip to Constantinople. And she learned of the truth of Christianity, a truth that had been preserved and taught and worshipped in Constantinople. So she went there and was baptized. And when she came back, she began to rule for her younger son, who was really too young to take over the leadership of Kiev because Prince Igor had died. So she ruled for some 20 years. And she became famous for being a wonderful, fair, and wise ruler, making wonderful decisions that were just and holy. Her beliefs, her Christian beliefs, had a profound influence on the way she governed. And although she could not bring about a widespread conversion in Russia during that time, she laid the seeds. She sowed the seeds. She was sad because her son never did receive baptism into the Christian faith. But guess who her grandson was?
Vladimir.
Vladimir the Great, who is considered to be the one who established the Orthodox Christian faith in Russia. He was her grandson. And it's because she went to the place where light was shining and brought that light back into her home and into her country, that Russia, and the millions upon millions of people in Russia came to know God in Christ. Jesus said that we are the light of the world. We walk in darkness, have not seen the light. And God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So when we walk in darkness, we do not know or experience the light of the Lamb of God. That doesn't mean that God isn't there. He is everywhere. And he's always there. But as the gospel, according to John, tells us, people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And that's true not for all of those sinners out there, it's true for all of us. We need to pray this prayer, and I notice that the prayers that the priest prays in Matins are filled with the theme of light. Listen to the third, fourth prayer out of the 12 prayers. In the night season, our soul awaketh early unto thee, O God, for thy precepts are light. Teach us thy righteousness, thy commandments, and thy statutes, O God. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding, lest at any time we sleep unto death in sin. Dispel all darkness from our hearts. Graciously give unto us the Sun of righteousness, and preserve our life unassailed by the seal of thy Holy Spirit. And then guide our steps in the way of peace. Grant us to behold the dawn and the day with joy, that we may raise our morning prayers unto thee. And then again in the fourth prayer, O Lord God, holy and unsearchable, who didst command the light to shine forth from the darkness. And when did that happen? At creation, remember? And hast raised us up to glorify and supplicate thy goodness, being implored of thine own tender loving kindness. Accept us now, who bow down in adoration before thee. And then the very last of those 12 prayers, we read, we praise thee, we hymn thee, we bless thee, we give thanks unto thee, O God of our fathers, that thou hast brought us in safety through the shades of night, and hast shown us once again the light of day. And we entreat of thy goodness, be gracious unto our sins. Accept our prayer and thy great tenderness of heart. For we flee unto thee, the merciful and almighty God. And then here it is again. Shine in our hearts with the true sun of thy righteousness. Enlighten our mind and guard all our senses. That walking uprightly as in the day, in the way of thy statutes, may attain unto life eternal, for thee is the source of life, and graciously be permitted to come to the fruition of the light unapproachable. When we see the light on the altar, we should think of the light of life, which is God himself and his presence. God is present where the light shines. This is a witness to the fact that we are worshiping the God of life. When we wake up in the morning, so what I wanted to say was when we see candles lit, when we light candles in our homes, at our altars, and when we come to church and see the candles lit, it's not just because it's kind of a nice thing to do. We're not trendy people. These candles are lit, and that goes way back to the Old Testament temple. They're lit to represent the presence of God. God. When the sun comes up in the morning, what should our first thought be? God, you have brought us again through the shades of night and you have given us life. We are alive and we see the light and we know that you are with us. So whenever we see the light, let us remember that God is light, that Jesus is the light of the world, and that he has called us to be children of light and to let our light shine. Not so that people can say, oh boy, aren't you the wonderful person in this room? Aren't you a beautiful person? And let our light shine so that people may glorify God who is in heaven. And to him be glory, and to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.